Hello everyone, do you hear me well? So thanks, pretty large audience. If I may ask a quick show of hands, who among you have you know, some experience, just any level of experience with machine learning? Okay, cool, awesome. So I'll be talking today about how to run testing on machine learning systems. So there are different keywords, CI/CD, quality assurance. A few words about us. I'm one of the founders of Giscard. We are building a collaborative and open source software platform to precisely ensure the quality of AI models. And I'll be explaining in this presentation a bit like how it works. In terms of agenda, I prepared kind of two sections on the why, like why a project on testing machine learning systems is needed, why we personally, I personally decided to work on that problem, some of the risks, and why like classical software testing methods don't quite work on AI. And then I'll do some more concrete examples on two important quality criteria that you might want to test for machine learning. One is robustness and the other is fairness. And if we have the time, it's just 30 minutes, I hope that we can do a quick demo of you know, an example use case where we run the full CI/CD pipeline on a machine learning model. So to kind of start off easy, I put together a series of memes to explain my personal story of why I came to create a company around and a project around this machine learning testing thing. So about 10 years ago, I started in like machine learning, statistics, data science, and you know, you had this. You start using the scikit-learn API, and you're like, yeah, it's super easy, right? Anybody can be a data scientist. You just dot fit, dot predict, and that's it. You're you're a data scientist. And probably if you're here today, you're like, yeah, have you tested your model? Yeah, sure. Train, test, spit. Reality, if you've deployed in production, is quite different. So if you've deployed to production, I've, often you'll have this painful discovery where you have your product manager, business stakeholders to whom you said, look, I worked really hard on the fine tuning and the grid search to get to 85% accuracy, and you push your first version to production and things don't quite work out. You don't reproduce these good accuracy numbers. Well, this was me. I hope it's not you. It was one of these. My first experience deploying machine learning to production was on a fraud detection system. Frauds are notoriously difficult as a use case for machine learning because what you're trying to detect doesn't quite want to be detected. There are people behind it who have a vested interest not to have your machine learning system detect them. So often in terms of performance, that's at least what I ended up like doing a lot of hot fixes in production. That's bad. kind of like 5 years ago, this was my my stance on machine learning in production. A very painful, grueling experience where you never know when you're going to be a complaint, where you're going to be on call to solve a something in production. So that's when I decided to buff up and switch roles to join a software engineering team. I was at Dataiku back then, so I moved internally from data science to the product team. And here are some of the things to summarize that as a, you know, someone with a machine learning background but no real software engineering experience, that these were kind of like what I was told. Like, you must learn the ways of a CI/CD. Otherwise, your project will not come to production. And for context, so I was specifically at that time in charge of creating like an open source layer to federate all the NLP and computer vision APIs that vendors in the cloud provide, and then to do the same for pre-trained NLP and time series models. So what was difficult in this context is I was not even the one in charge of the models, and the models will be retrained, fine-tuned. So, you know, the guarantees into the properties of that systems, as an engineer, that's more difficult. There are some elements in the stack that you don't have control of. This is a bit of a repeat of a previous meme, and I really wanted to say one does not simply ship an ML product without tests. The challenge I had then is that from an engineering management standpoint, I was told, yeah, but you know, it's easy. Engineers, they all write their test cases. So you do machine learning, just write them all. Just write all the test cases. So this was me being kind of square one. It's like, okay, so you're telling me I just need to write unit tests? Okay, that will not really solve the issue. And that's kind of the beginning of a quest that set me on to build something to solve that gap between, okay, I want to test my models, I need to test my models, and how can I do that? Because clearly, and I'll explain why, unit testing your model is really not enough. A different angle on the why. I'll try to take a step back and talk about quality in general. I think in this track, we all agree that quality matters. And if you look at AI, it's an industry that's an engineering practice that is far younger than software engineering or civil engineering, and it's just riddled with incidents. I encourage you, if you don't know that resource already, it's an open source database. It's incidentdatabase.ai, and it's a public collection of reports, mostly in the media, of AI models that have not worked properly. And it's a really great work that has been going on for about 2.5 years. It's a global initiative, and just in this time, they collected more than 2,000 incidents. Since these are public reports, think of it as the tip of the iceberg, of course. There are a lot of incidents internal to companies that are not necessarily spoken out in the media. The incident database has a very interesting taxonomy of the different types of incidents. It's very multifaceted. I took the liberty to kind of simplify it in three big categories of incidents. One is ethics, the other is business economic impacts, and the third one is on security. And we're talking about really, if they happen at a global company scale, incidents that are very, very severe. In ethics, you can have a sexist credit scoring algorithm that exposes the company to lawsuits, to brand image damages, etc. And these are notoriously hard to identify. Because, I mean, in a way, machine learning is precisely about discrimination. So it's hard to tell a machine that is learning to discriminate, not to discriminate against certain sensitive groups. I'll speak on some methods that can be used precisely on this problem, but Apple was working with, at the time, Goldman Sachs on deploying this algorithm, and probably some tests and safeguards were unfortunately skipped. So it was actually discovered on Twitter that, in a simple case, a male loan applicant would get 10x the loan limit compared to his wife. That sparked a huge controversy that probably exposed Apple to some lawsuits. In another area that is not with sensitive features such as gender, there was a huge catastrophe a year and a half ago that happened to Zillow, a real estate company, where there was a small bias that was overestimating the prices of homes. And they decided to put this algorithm live to buy and sell houses. It turned out that this tiny bias, which was left unchecked, was exploited by the real estate agents in the US. And literally, this created a loss of nearly $500 million. And again, like probably if like going back to testing, this could have been anticipated and avoided. Now on a more like a cybersecurity spectrum, there's a lot of good research from cybersecurity labs showing that you can hack, for example, a computer vision system in an autonomous driving context. So here you put a special tape on the road and you can crash a Tesla. We don't quite know if these types of vulnerabilities have been exploited in real life yet, but as AI becomes super ubiquitous, and obviously there are some bad actors out there that might want to hack these systems, and introduces a new type of attack vectors. So that's also something we need to care about. So both from the practitioners of AI and from a regulatory standpoint, testing just makes sense. Yann Lequin, the chief AI scientist at Meta, was actually taking a stance at the beginning of last year on Twitter, saying that if you want trust in a system, you need tests. And also making a slight criticism towards some of the explainability methods. Because 2 years ago, if you've followed that realm, people were saying, oh, you just need explainability and then your problems will go away. Well, that's just part of the answer. Lastly, and this was covered in some of the talks this morning on the big auditorium, there's a growing regulatory requirement to put some checks and balances in place. And that also says that you need specifically in case your AI system is high risk, you need to put quality measures in place. And the definition of high-risk AI systems is pretty large. Obviously, you have anything related to infrastructure, like critical infrastructure, defense, etc. But you also have all AI systems that are involved in human resources and public service and financial services, because these are considered, obviously, critical components of society. Right. But now that we kind of agreed that it's an important problem. These are some of the challenges, because if you've encountered some of these issues, you probably looked at some easy solutions, right? Taking some analogies on what you might do to do this. And there are 3 points that make this problem of testing machine learning a bit special. Meaning it's still a big work in progress. Point one is that it is really not enough to check the data quality to guarantee the quality of a machine learning system. One of my co-founders during his PhD proved experimentally, you can run experiments, that you can have really clean data in a bad model, right? So you cannot just say it's an upstream problem. It's actually it's technically like systems engineering. You have to take the data, the machine learning model, and the user into context to analyze its properties. Moreover, the errors of a machine learning systems are often caused by pieces of data that did not exist when the model was created. They were clean, but they did not exist. Second point, it's pretty hard just to copy-paste some of the testing methods from software into AI. One is like, yes, you can do some unit tests on machine learning models, but they won't prove much. right? Because the principle is that it's a transactional system and things are moving quite a lot. So that's a good baseline. If you have a machine learning system and you have some unit tests, that's already like step one. It's better to have that than to have nothing. But you have to embrace the fact that there has got to be like a large number of test cases. So you cannot just test on a three